The topic is actually a shaila that's dealt with in Achronim in the last couple hundred years and more recently regarding Tzom Gedalia. And the question is as follows. Let's say you have a person who, given the fact that it's kind of close together, fast day on the 3rd of Tishrei, another fast day on the 10th of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, mentioned there's also a long-standing minhag many people still observe, fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, even more difficult. This is a week where I wouldn't recommend to give blood, okay? But you have to be careful. You have to make sure that you you keep yourself healthy in order to be able to fast on the upcoming days of Ta'anios. However, let's say someone poses the following question to the Rav, to the doctor. I can fast on Tzom Gedalia, no problem. But if I fast on Tzom Gedalia, there is an increased chance, or maybe even a likelihood, that I will not be able to make it through the fast on Yom Kippur. So what should I do? Should I not fast on Tzom Gedalia? Maybe it's even more relevant this year when Tzom Gedalia is pushed off a date and it's even closer to Yom Kippur. So should I fast on Tzom Gedalia, and then when Yom Kippur comes, what am I going to do? I'm an onus, right? Onus is part from fasting. It's like a din of Pekuach Nefesh. Or do you say, I need to look ahead a little bit, and I see the fact that there's a fast day, Yom Kippur coming. Obviously, Yom Kippur is a very serious fast. And maybe that should take precedence over the fact that there's Tzom Gedalia more immediately. So if you look at the second source, Yom Haschaim quotes from Eshel Avram, Tafrit Beis and Hilchos Aseres Mitzvah, L'machos Rosh Hashanah, referring to the Ramban Shulchan Aruch talks about the fast day of Tzom Gedalia. Ki be'Eshel, because of Eshel Avram, Mehagon HaKadosh Mibuchach, the Buchach Rav was the author of the Eshel Avram. And he posed this question: Tzom Gedalia suffik chash al yodo sheyisana b'mikipurim. When you have a situation where by fasting on Tzom Gedalia you're going to create a possible concern that you're not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur, shach b'kach mashar amar Chazal okru mitzvah d'oraisa b'sheva al taisa al yedei takana d'rabbanan v'yisana b'makach lo yuchal yisanas b'mikipurim harei oz ya'onas u'mutter ayin shom kikzati. So in short, he suggests that maybe the psak should be as follows. That sometimes you have to be okur mitzvah d'oraisa. Certainly in the situation where it is b'shev al tasa. What do I mean it's b'shev al tasa? When I fast on Tzom Gedalia, it is true that that will ultimately make it impossible for me to fast on Yom Kippur, but I'm not actively violating Yom Kippur. I'm just running the course, the natural course, of observing halacha now, a week before Yom Kippur, and that's not an active violation of Yom Kippur, that's just setting myself up passively by doing what I'm supposed to do on Tzom Gedalia, so that when I get to Yom Kippur, it's going to be an onus, and it'll be mutter for me to eat, because all I'm doing is following the Takanot Rabbanan to fast on Tzom Gedalia. Okay? So that is his suggestion. And the Or Chaim continues by quoting Tshuvas Ohel Moshe Sim Tazayin in a similar question, where this person already had some sort of compromised health, and by fasting on Tzom Gedalia, he's not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur, it's going to be Pekuach Nefesh. Look at the top of the second column there, Vitzarech Lachu Ben Kippur Mitainis. And he writes that he's sure that he'll be able to fast on Tzom Gedalia. Shal yazik lo yigur shum dover me'atainis, im yotzim Tzom Gedalia, v'lo yotzim shumash yigurum lo shalol atzanat ben mikburim, v'ishe im lo yisanat ben mikburim, harei onas, o neim lo yisanat Tzom Gedalia, t'shiyuch atzanat ben mikburim, v'kos of t'toy v'pluksa de harad baz, v'chacham tzvi, shuhubu ver heitiv sim tzali. So, the Ohel Moshe cited here takes the following approach. Notwithstanding the logic of the B'chach Rav that was quoted earlier, that you first look at the current halacha, which is Tzom Gedalia, and then worry about Yom Kippur later. So maybe this needs to be viewed in light of a very interesting tshuva in the Ridvaz. Could be we mentioned this recently. Look at source number one, Tshuva Ridvaz Chelek Dalet Simen Yud Gimel. This is what he's referring to. She'ela, Ruvein Hayachavish Beis Asurim. Jew was in jail for whatever reason. So he's locked up. He's not able to go to shul and daven b'tzibur v'lasos hamitzvos. V'eschanu l'fnei asar o hegmon v'lo'ava shemoa. And he begged the person in charge, the governor, the warden of the jail. And the person in charge did not have any rachmanas on him. L'hanicho, to go out to daven. He said, I have religious obligations. There's no one else here in jail. I can't come in jail. So please let me go to my synagogue and daven there. And he would not grant him any rachmanas, except Zulasi Yomachar B'Shana,
Ez Yom Shiachbutz. He says, one day a year, I'll give you permission to go to shul one day a year. That's my concession. And you can choose whatever day you want it to be, but that's all we're going to allow you. So what's the psak? Yor Amor Ez Yom, Mikoyim Asashan, Yivcha Ruven, Hanizkar, Lachl, Ez HaKnesses. Can you tell us which day? Maybe you should go to Yom Kippur, right? Go to shul on Yom Kippur. Tell us what day he should go to shul. So Tshuva, the Rav Aza answers, as I saw one author write a tshuva about this topic and expression in Lashon Chazal, that it was like he was floating in deep waters and all he found was a little piece of charis, a little piece of pottery. He's searching for a treasure and this is all he found. In other words, he made a mistake. He got involved in a shaila that was over his head. And he built an answer on shaky foundations. So this other anonymous posek who addressed the question suggested maybe Yom Kippur is the day because it's such an important day to daven. Maybe then he suggests Purim should be the day because Mikra Megillah, Pesumah Nisa, Dibi Nasara, those are in Yonim. You can't do without 10. You can't have Pesumah Nisa without the people. So maybe I should daven choose Purim to go to shul to daven then. In short, he throws away anything that other tshuva suggests. Now I'm going to tell you the psach what you should do. Who the anan kaimlan din mavir al mitzvos ve'in cholik bezeh klal. There's a principle that you should not pass over a mitzvah, and no one disagrees with that. That is a principle that appears in the Gemara. We'll see the Gemara in a moment. In mavir al mitzvos, when a mitzvah comes your way, you must perform the mitzvah without pushing it off for whatever reason. And that is something which is a principle no one disagrees with. Okay? If so, HaMitzvah Rishon Shetavol Yado, She Eshel HaSosa, V'uchavish Beis HaSurim Kodemes, V'in Mashkichim, Im HaMitzvah Shepagu Bo Tchila, Hikala Ochamura, She Iyata Yodea, Matan Tzchorin Shal Mitzvos, V'ze HaPashin Ma'ur Etzli. So that says it's obvious to me. It's obvious to me, thank you. That the way we should pass it in this case, is as follows: that the first mitzvah that comes his way is the mitzvah that he should observe, and there should be no pause at the moment of the option that's given to him. Okay, so he should not wait. The mitzvah that comes his way that he's able to perform by being released from the jail takes precedence, and does not make any difference if the mitzvah that comes his way is, so to speak, kala. It's not as severe, it's not as chashev. Sorry about that, we have it here. Or if it's more chamer, for example, making this cheshbon, whether or not he should go out immediately versus waiting to daven b'tzibor on Yom Kippur. Interesting line he has over here. He says the reason why in Mavir al Mitzvah, sounds like he's saying Pshat in the Gemara. The reason why in Mavir al Mitzvah, the reason why you don't make these choices, but rather you take the mitzvah that comes your way first, is because you don't really know how to rate the mitzvahs. Because I'll tell us in Pirkei Avos that the schar for mitzvahs is unknown. And even though we may think that one mitzvah takes precedence over another, we're not always confident to make that determination, and therefore the first mitzvah that he can do is the one he should do. Source number 3 on the bottom is the Gemara in Yuma that he's referring to. And you may recognize the basis of the Gemara from Korbanos. Yeah, in Bayahu Masader, yeah?
And if it's like a Durbanon versus a Deraita, you still choose the
Mitzvah. We'll see. It seems to be that you don't make that distinction, right? We have to examine more carefully. Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi Kodom HaTavis Chamesh Neros. When the Gemara in Yuma talks about the Seder of the Avoda of Yom Kippur, which really reflects also in many ways aspects of the daily Avoda, so there's a certain order in which the Kohen, when he enters the Beis HaMikdash, has to perform the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash and the various karbanos. And among those are, number one, Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, to clear off the ashes from the Mizbeach HaZav, the Ketores Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal, inside the Kodesh. That comes before HaTavas Chamesh Neros, before he would fix and clean up the 5 remaining candles from the menorah. Okay, and the question is, why should one come before the other? My time, Amar Rabbaya, Gemara Gemirna, Svar lo yadana. So we have this tradition that the Mizbeach HaZav comes before fixing the menorah, but I don't know the reason for it. Rav Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, the Amar Reish Lakish in Mavir al Mitzvah, so you don't pass over a mitzvah. So Rav says it's not simply a tradition Ochel Moshe Mitzinai, but there's a principle behind it. In Mavir Al Mitzvos, Rish Lakish's rule, and if you are entering the Beis HaMikdash, so the first kli that you are going to encounter is the Mizbeach Hazav, and that will precede when you actually encounter the menorah. So therefore, you deal with the one that you come across first. Okay, and that's what the Radvaz is based upon. So you'll daven first on whatever opportunity you have, whenever you can choose tomorrow to go to shul, instead of waiting for Yom Kippur, just like we find in the Avoda, for example, the Beis HaMikdash, whichever kli, whichever Avoda you encounter first, if it's the time to do that, you do it now and you don't wait. Okay? So that is the psak of the Radvaz, and that's the Gemara is based upon. However, we mentioned the Ol Moshe said that this is not so clear, la halacha, because there are authorities that argue on the Radvaz. And namely, most prominently, the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi is not convinced of the raya that the Radvaz wants to bring to the Shaila, that it depends on Imma Vina Mitzvos, because we find another competing principle, or at least the omission of this principle, in a different sugya. Look at source number 4, Gemara Menachas Daf Mem Tes Amid Aleph. The Gemara has the following Shaila. Vayimini Reb Chiya Bar Avin Mirab Chizda. Tzibur She'en Lam Tzmidim Musafin Ezim Hen Kodem. You have a Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, supposed to bring the Korbanos every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, and of course the Korban Tamid in the morning, Korban Tamid in the afternoon, daily Korbanos, you use a sheep, right? Every once in a while, in addition to those Korbanos, you have a Korban Musaf. If it's a special day on the calendar, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Yontif, Parshas Pinchas, so we know there's additional Korbanos that are brought. What type of animal is used for the Korban Musaf? Let's say Shabbos, for example. What's that? Part. Well, let's look. Yom HaShabbos. Oh, Shnei Kvasim. That's where we start. Let's read the pasuk inside. Parshas Pinchas. Uviyom HaShabbos Shnei Kvasim and Eishanot Tmimim. Number one. Shnei Asronim Solas Min Chavlu of Hashem B'Nisko. Allah Shabbos B'Shabbato. Allah Allah Satamid B'Nisko. So no Purim on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh you do. Rosh Chodesh Roshecha Chechem Tachiv Elol Hashem. Purim B'Nei Bokar Shnei V'Ayelach Kvasim and Eishanot Shabbat Tmimim. You have the sheep. You also have the bull. Okay? Let's do a Shabbos for the moment. So Shnei Chavasim and Eishana Tamimim, Shnei Yisroelim Solos Men Chavulu Hashem V'Nisko, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato, Al Olas HaTamid V'Nisko. What does it mean, Al Olas HaTamid V'Nisko, Nate? It means that in addition to the carbonus you brought generally on any other day of the week, which also are comprised of Kvasim, Shabbos Al Olas HaTamid, in addition, above and beyond, once you're done with the carbon Talmud, then you also bring the carbon Musaf. So the question, the Gemara becomes as follows. What do you do if you don't have enough of these animals to perform the avodah that you have to do for that particular day? So Gemara says, Heichidami, what is the case? What is the scenario that you're dealing with where you're running out of animals? Ilema tamidim diyome umusafin diyome. I'm going to translate based on the Pshat and Rashi you have in source number 5. But we'll just integrate into the reading for now. Ilema tamidim diyome umusafin diyome. If you're talking about a scenario where Klal Yisrael has all the karbanos lined up, the tamid of today and the musaf of today, but you don't have all the animals. So what do you do? So he says pshita tamidim atifi. It should be obvious. It should be obvious that what you bring is the karban tamid. Give precedence and put the animals towards that karban, not to give precedence to the karban musaf. Why? Tamidim adifi, why are the tamidim, why do they come first? So the Gemara answers, because davu talir mekudesh, because you have two simultaneous principles that are operative in this situation. Number one, you have tadir v'she'inu tadir tadir kodim. The more frequent carbon is the carbon tamid. And there's another consideration. This is a little more complicated. Okay, the Gemara calls it tadir u'mekudesh. Carbon tamid is tadir and it's also mekudesh. Why do you need to throw in the fact that it's more holy? So the answer is because if you have a conflict between what's the most frequent mitzvah and what is the most holy mitzvah, it's not so clear what the conclusion is. But let's assume for the moment you have a carbon which is both tadir and mekudash, it should come first, right? Why is a carbon tamid mekudash? What's so special about carbon tamid? You bring it every single day. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, source number 5, first Rashi, Tadir Mekudesh, Tadir B'chol Yom, U'mekudesh Shehayom Yom Tifu. We're talking about a Karban Tamid of Shabbos, of Yontif. That Karban Tamid, besides its frequency, also takes on an additional level of holiness by virtue of the fact that it's a carbon talmid of yontif. The lav yontif like a musaf, because if it was yontif, if it was not yontif, I'm sorry, you wouldn't bring a carbon musaf. Musaf al lohahu el makudash. But the carbon musaf is only makudash. So Rashi says a chiddush, which emerges from the Gemara over there, and Gemara in Zvachim, that just because it's a carbon talmid and you would bring it any old day of the week, the fact that it's a carbon talmid of Shabbos or Yontif actually gives it additional status. This relates to an important point that's relevant for this year, when Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. A little bit of a sidebar, but very important yisod. Let me ask you the following question. Let's say you have a person who's sick on Yom Kippur and he has to eat. Okay? So when he benches, does he mention Yom Kippur in the benching? Is that like the Alviyot? Yeah? What's that, Lacha?
Yes.
Yes. You add Yom Kippur into Yom Kippur. Do you make Kiddush? Do you make Kiddush before he starts eating? Right? I have to eat. So maybe the first thing I eat to get myself healthy again is grape juice, wine, whatever. Right? So what's the Shiloh Talmid upon? Pashup Shat, did Chazal institute a mitzvah of Kiddush on a day which is really not supposed to be a day of eating? Right? So we, what was that? Oh, okay, so hold on, that's the next step. So, halach l'maisa, if a sick person eats on Yom Kippur, there's no Kiddush, okay? Because that was never instituted. What if it's what if it's Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos? Yom Kippur's already Shabbos. Okay, true. Still not the same thing as when it falls simultaneously with Shabbos. You're right, that nafkamina, both say. What's the nafkamina? What changes when Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide? Practical. Pass me the Mishbura underneath that Gemara. Practical halacha, we'll say. The laning is different. Laning is different. The davening is different because we mentioned the musafin. Good. I wasn't even going to go in that direction. But we have more aliyahs. How many aliyahs do you read on Yom Kippur, Stam?
Six.
Yontif is five. And Yom Kippur is six. When it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur, then you actually read seven. So you're right. There's an Isra Malacha. 100%, but it still has a slightly different character. There's even a shaila, when you make Havdalah after Yom Kippur, do you use besamim? Why not? Someone tell me why not. So let me read to you inside. Seder Motzoi Yom Kippur, Tav Reish Chav Dalet. So it says over here in Tav Reish Chav Dalet, Davin Mariv, and you make Havdalah. Mavdil al kos, the ein mevarachem al besamim. There's no besamim on Yom Kippur. Explains the Mishnah Berura. Why don't you have any besamim? Nishami Seir. Okay, so, and therefore what? Therefore what?
The point of besamim is that you're sad because you're
Nishami Seir.
So, in order to help you with that, you have besamim. But on Yom Kippur, it's not really.
Very good, Ephraim. Asher b'mikpur m'lohebo nisham yisera mipnei atinus. There's no nisham yisera on a day where you have a tinus. So this probably relates to what Rashi says in Beitza, that what does it mean to have a nisham yisera? Not the no calories thing. I'm not aware of any basis for that, but you can tell me if it's true about not getting any weight on Shabbos, if you have a real source for it. Where Rashi does say, and I think this is the source of that, you know what people say about eating shalom on Shabbos, Rashi says that you have a more expansive capacity to intake gashmias, and it won't detract from your ruchnias. You hear the word? I mean, normally, on a Tuesday, if a person eats a lot of food, so there's a reality of the give and take. Like we said yesterday, the mafli lasos, the combination of the guf and the neshama, means that a person's avodah throughout life is to strike a healthy balance whereby they're not going too far in the way of gashmis, because it will diminish their ability to be spiritually able to accomplish and grow. On the other hand, if a person doesn't eat and doesn't get any sleep, then they're not going to be able to function in a way that permits them to perform mitzvos and stay where they should be as far as their health is concerned, to learn, etc., and serve Hashem. So you have that balance. So when it comes to Shabbos, because there's a mitzvah on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you an increased capacity to tolerate that gashmis, and it won't detract from your ruchnis. That's what Rashi says. So it could be on a day where there is no gashmis, It's really not supposed to be a day of gashmius whatsoever. It's the only day which is kula ruchnius, so there's no nisham yisir because you don't have a need to increase your talent for the ruchnius. Okay? Shulchan Aruch continues. Afilu imchal yos b'Shabbos. Even if Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide. So you might have thought, okay, but Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos always has a nisham yisir. Comes along the Mechaber and he's passing that when it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur together, then the character of Shabbos is overtaken by the Yom Kippur, so to speak. I can account that there's still no Nisham Yisera, because you're still not supposed to eat, and as a result, there's no Besamim. Mishbura says, many Achronim disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, and they say that when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide, you should make a bracha on Besamim. What's the big deal? So you make a bracha on Besamim, it's going to be a bracha latala? Is it going to be a bracha latala, Basai? No, of course not a bracha latala. Because in the end of the day, you're still Nana from the Besamim. So Lamaisa, it's a Mishabura over here brings those who argue, and elsewhere in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishabura seems to say that you should not make a bracha on Besamim, even when Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. Okay, but what does this seem to be dependent upon? Our Shaila right now, maybe it has something to do with the Kiddush Shaila, right? When Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide, we want to know: does the character of Shabbos fuse with the character of Yom Kippur, now make it not just Shabbos that happens to be Yom Kippur, but rather it's a combined Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos and Yom Kippur that maintains the Nesham Yisera, that obligates me in Besamim, and that maybe explains, no, I'm over here, also obligates me to make Kiddush if I have to break my fast because I'm sick on Shabbos Yom Kippur. Because after all, I understand that I shouldn't make Kiddush if it's just Yom Kippur, there's no institution of Kiddush, but maybe if it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur together, those are not two coinciding parallel tracks, but rather they fuse to become one track whereby the Kiddush has to mention not just Shabbos and Yom Kippur as well. Macholkes Achronim, or Sameach, and the Shakes Aryeh, Kiva Eger, they discuss this point. So maybe that traces back to our sugya in Menachos and Mizvachim, that a carbon tamid brought on Shabbos, is it just a carbon tamid and that's brought every single day and it just happens to be Shabbos also? Or no, the Karban Tamid of Shabbos, Karban Tamid of Yontif, is imbued with an additional status whereby it's a Karban Tamid plus. It's Makudosh with the day that you happen to find yourself in. Okay, so that seems to be the implication of the Gemara, that at least the Karban takes on that additional status. Okay, so back to the sugi we're talking about right now. The Gemara says that if you have a choice, if I have a carbon tumen to bring today, and a carbon mustard today. So which do I do? I do first, which takes precedence. I only have one animal. Gemara says you bring the carbon tumen because not only is it tadir, but it's also makudash. It already has the status of the carbon musaf built in. So of course it's more important than the carbon musaf because it has two qualities. It has the special quality of a yuntif carbon, and also has the tadirus. It has the frequency that it's brought every single day. Okay. One second. So the Gemara says, that's not a shaila. For sure, you bring the carbon tamid. I'm in source number four, second line, at the end. El tamidim de lamachar umusafin de ha'idna. Now, Joseph, we have a shaila. What if you have an animal that you want to bring as a carbon tamid tomorrow, or the carbon musaf today? Meaning the morning tamid of Shabbos has already been brought. So where do I find myself? Now I have only one animal left. So I'm at musaf, and I want to bring it for carbon musaf today. But if I bring it for carbon musaf today, I won't have a carbon tamid for tomorrow. Yeah, you hear the shayla? The carbon tamid shall be in our bayim, is not part of the cheshbon. So I guess we figured that out. We had an animal for that one too. But do I bring the carbon musaf for today and lose out on the carbon tamid tomorrow? Or do I say, hold on to the animal, ignore the musaf today, and bring the carbon tamid tomorrow? So the Gemara is not sure, because what are we balancing? On the one hand, Tadirus, that the carbon tamid tomorrow is a daily carbon. On the other hand, Victor, the carbon musaf today is a holier carbon than a Sunday morning carbon. Yeah? Okay, you hear the shaila? So the Chacham Tzvi points out. Nate, you hear the shaila?
Wait, I'm confused.
Let's repeat the shaila. Yeah?
Why? But obviously the musaf would be more important than the tamid, right?
Not so fast. Why? So the Gemara has two sides to that shaila. On the one hand, the musaf is more important because it's holier.
Yeah.
It's a Shabbos carbon. On the other hand, the tanid that I would bring tomorrow, tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. It's more frequent than a musaf. But maybe I should skip the current day to bring the next day's carbon, because the next day's carbon has some extra muscle to it that it's brought every single day. Okay? Rabosai, what's the Chacham Svi's kasha on the Radvaz from this Gemara? The Radvaz says, if I'm in jail and I only have 1 day a year that I can go out, don't go on Yom Kippur 6 months from now. Go today. Because they'll give you the chance to do it right away. Don't consider the fact that a carbon... Don't consider the fact that the tefillah on Yom Kippur is holier, so wait a few months. Don't waste time. In my opinion, you have a mitzvah right now. Yeah?
Oh, Gevaldik,
Mendel. The Gemara should have answered its question about the Tumid versus the Musaf by saying, don't wait. Do the Karb Musaf because it's at hand right now. Whatever happens tomorrow, happens tomorrow. Whatever happens when you get to Yom Kippur, you'll deal with it when you get to Yom Kippur. That's not your business. Your business right now is to worry about the current carbon, which is the musaf that you're supposed to bring today. You hear the shaila? No? One more time. The Radvaz says that if you have a choice between davening now and davening Yom Kippur, ein maviren al hamitzvos. Ein maviren al mitzvos. You don't pass over a mitzvah. You have a chance to do one now. Do it now and worry about the other ones later. Likewise, if you have a carbon to bring today, a musaf, don't worry about the tumid tomorrow. Maybe it is tadir. Maybe it's more frequent that you bring a carbon tamid. But if the priority is the mitzvah that's right in front of you right now, and the other mitzvah is not coming till tomorrow, not coming till Yom Kippur, the Radvaz Svar should have told us, and should have been the Gemara's next line, Eim Avir Al Mitzvahs, bring the carbon musaf immediately. Yeah. Okay, good.
Already know that you can't if you take this.
Okay, good. So, Yehuda is saying that this is different than the Radvaz's question. Okay? The Radvaz is an open shut shaila of davening today versus davening in 6 months. Here, it may not exactly be the same thing because they're mamish up against each other. What could happen in 6 months is a different consideration. Maybe that's too far in advance for us to be worried about. Hold that thought. Go ahead, Yehuda.
Can you not say that difference is Korban is Korban Tzibur?
Right? Yeah.
And Davin is an obligation on the individual. So the individual, you can say, the first thing you have to do, the first obligation you have to fulfill. After that, you know, I mean, like, if you cannot do it anymore, okay, that's not your fault. Well, Korban Tzibur, that even if the old Tzibur dies out, the Korban still has to be brought.
You're saying that Tzibur's obligation is more significant?
No, the Tzibur obligation doesn't go away.
It never ends. It never ends. So even if the yachid is not here, but the tzibur never ends, therefore what? What's it therefore?
And therefore,
they have to look more forward-thinking than...
But with the korbanos, you can look forward, because it doesn't make a difference, because in korban tzibur, the chiyuv is there, and it's not going away. It's like we had for shavuos, like that thing over there. But for yachid, like, that person might die in the next 3 days.
Oh, okay. So good. Okay, so hold on. I think you're sort of overlapping with Yehuda. Let's read the first answer, okay? The Ber Hativ in source number 6. Very good. The first line there. He quotes from the Lekach Kemach. Tafirav miyashiv deyishchilk ben yochel tzibor, de'in tzibor mesim, api yochel shiyu mitzvah lo mashinah. So I'm not sure this is what you have in mind, Chil. I think it might be what Yehuda has in mind. You tell me. He says the pshat is as follows. Where does the notion of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos come from? The basis for Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos is you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, and maybe I'll die. Something like that. Something will come up that'll make it impossible for me to perform the mitzvah that I'm holding out for. I'm delaying my current mitzvah in order to make it possible for me to do another mitzvah tomorrow, but who knows what's going to be? right? Bringing it back to our situation, who knows if the jail warden is going to have the same compassion 6 months from now. Maybe that guy is going to get fired. There will be another jail warden who won't let you go out on Yom Kippur either. Right? For example, a more extreme example, maybe I won't be alive. So don't play around with it. So therefore, when it comes to the karban, as Yechiel is saying, there's always going to be a tzibur, even if everyone dies. So the next generation is going to have to bring the karban. So they can look ahead and ignore what's right in front of us, because whatever priority is guiding us, such as the fact that it's more tadir, for example, that makes any time considerations irrelevant, because the obligation will never cease, regardless, and the opportunity will not cease. Now, you could make the argument that maybe the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed tomorrow. Okay, meaning he says that if you wait 6 months to daven, like the Ravah says, then you may not be around, or the opportunity may not present itself. But the tzibur can't die. One could say, well, maybe some other monea, some other obstacle will arise in the meantime that will make it, maybe the sheep is going to die. Maybe the sheep is going to get a mum, and then you'll have missed the opportunity, right? So that he doesn't address that possibility, but getting back to Yehuda's point, right, even if you did check it 4 days in advance, that's not magic. It just means that it's ready to go now. But maybe overnight it's going to trip and fall in its pen, and then it'll get hurt. So that's the answer of the Lekat Kemach. Like a Kemach, but it's not so pashut. Now, I would also add that the Ravas himself, what the Ravas say is the basis for Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos, is the basis for Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos that, Shuki, I may not be able to do the mitzvah tomorrow, so do whatever you can right now. He said it's because you don't know which is a greater mitzvah. You don't know which is a greater mitzvah. So how can you gauge if davening on Tuesday is really bigger than davening on Yom Kippur? And even though intuitively it makes sense, he says, not so fast. There may be other considerations that make another mitzvah more important than you think it is, although that would be irrelevant in the Ravaz, in the Gemara Menachos, because the Gemara in Menachos already assigns priority. And it says Tadir is more important and Mekudesh is more important. So you have to know, maybe there are certain situations where we are given those parameters, and the Ravaz only said a situation where we don't know those parameters. But when you do know that one comes before the other, maybe in Mavir Na Mitzvah doesn't apply. Okay? That's a horror we're adding. Let's look at the next answer. The next answer, the Yad Aaron. Yeah?
We clearly know that Yom Kippur, we're talking about Yom Kippur and Som Yidale, right?
Right. Yeah, ultimately we're going to try to get back to, right, Som Yidale versus Yom Kippur.
So, we don't know, the majority of the mitzvahs, we don't know what's more important than the other, but Yom Kippur,
shouldn't this be obvious?
Yeah.
So, hold on, that may or may not be true. It's going to depend on something that we'll get to a little bit later. Okay? The Gemara doesn't have a very clear conclusion at all. So yeah, so it's a shayla on the Gemara. So, but at least in Mavir Na'amitza should have come into the Cheshbon. And I'm saying that we are labeling the hierarchy, at least of Karbonos, even if we can't do that with every mitzvah. Well, as I look at the next answer, this is a very, very interesting answer. The end of the first line, it got cut off over there by the border, V'amachaber Yad Aaron Mitaritz. Full answer is in number 7, but we don't have enough time to read it right now. But Machaber Yad Aaron Mitaritz, when I'm weighing out today's karbon versus tomorrow's karbon, things what Yehuda was saying also, that if I bring today's karbon, I'm not going to be able to bring tomorrow's karbon. So when I don't know and it's do or die, because if I bring today, I'm not going to be able to bring tomorrow, then it's a suffix in the Gemara which takes precedence. Okay? But in the Ravaz's case, when the guy's in jail, if you daven on Tuesday instead of Yom Kippur, you didn't lose the mitzvah totally. He says, is there really a difference between Tuesday and Yom Kippur 6 months from now? It's the same mitzvah tefillah. It's the same mitzvah tefillah b'tzibur. There may be a higher status to the Yom Kippur Tfilos, to Tadavin B'tzibur on those days, but at the end of the day, I'm still getting a mitzvah tefillah. Right? In other words, we're saying that when it comes to two totally different mitzvahs, today's Musaf versus tomorrow's Tamid, either I'm going to get the mitzvah of Musaf or I'm going to get the mitzvah of Tamid, but they're not the same mitzvah. Here, there's a mitzvah of tefillah B'tzibur today, or there's a mitzvah of tefillah B'tzibur then. Is one more chashiv? Perhaps. But Sach HaKol, it's still the same mitzvah of Tehillah B'Tzibur. So there's no net gain. So there's no net gain in Mavir Al Mitzvahs. Take the first mitzvah that comes to your hands. You hear the word? If it's the same mitzvah tefillah tzibur today, or the same mitzvah tefillah tzibur in a few months, in the end of the day, you got one mitzvah of tefillah tzibur. That's different than choosing a carbon tamid, which is mitzvah A, or mitzvah B, which is a carbon musaf, and those are not the same mitzvah. So then you have to say, well, let's see which is more important. But when it's the same mitzvah, they're not more important.
Is this, that would only apply, as in the Rabbah specifically said, like, oh, Yom Kippur is not, greater than Shacharis today, but this wouldn't answer if we're talking about Purim or Hanukkah or Pesach or Sukkot, where you're doing something other than just tefillah.
Or maybe
today you would be doing tefillah, but on a different day you'd be able to do tefillah and the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sukkah.
There's other things you could be doing on that day, right? So it seems to be, even though the Radvaz had this mitzvah opportunity, and he's not clear exactly what mitzvahs you're going to be able to do, he says you take whatever day comes first. You're saying the Ad Aharon is somehow narrowed it down to a shaila only of tefillah. Right. So it's very interesting. In the progression of the generation since the Radvaz, whenever the Radvaz is quoted, it's a tefillah issue. But you're right. We'll see that in the Mishnah Berurah when it comes to Raz. For whatever reason, other mitzvahs are not taken into account. You're saying, let's say I can do a mitzvah today versus 8 mitzvahs on a different day. So then, at least according to the Ad Aharon, then you wait for your 8 mitzvahs. Right?
Just from a regular day to Shabbos, it's not even like you wait so long for there to be a day where you're doing more than just tefillah.
Right. Fair point. Fair point. That's not addressed. Okay? I want to take the longest of this answer and throw in two very unique and personal situations that relate to this answer. Shiloh came up. A friend of mine called me with a question he was approached with this summer about a woman who has intolerance to bread, celiac or whatever. The doctor told her you can handle one slice of bread a week. One slice of bread a week. Okay, anything more than that is going to make her sick.
Is this a hypothetical thing or a real? Somebody was actually told
me. Rabbi Shai Shachter called me with a Shiloh over the summer to discuss the Shiloh. So I think it was a woman. The woman, tzadikas, she said, I'm going to save my one slice of bread for Shabbos. I'm not going to have my Thursday night pizza. I'm going to make sure to use it for challah on Shabbos. So then she asked, well, should I eat it Friday night or Shabbos day? That's a question. So there's two interesting considerations for the shiloh. One is this Ritvaz, right? First thing that pops into your head, well, hey, it's a mitzvah at night, mitzvah tomorrow. Which one do I choose? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay? Possibility number one. Another possibility is there's a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kovav. It says, Kvod Yom, Kvod Laila, Kvod Yom Adif. If you have one piece of gefilte fish, and you mamish, you're very halig a Jew, you follow the Zohar, says you should have fish at every single meal on Shabbos, 3 meals a day. Okay? When Rabbi Twisky comes for Shabbos, he makes a special request to have fish at every meal, even though the cat doesn't serve every meal. Rabbi Chalap, when he comes for Shabbos, also, I love fish. Okay? Shabbos. Okay? So you only have one slice of fish. What are you going to do? Do you eat at night, or are you going to do it during the day?
Split it in half.
Split it in half. Ooh. Split it in half. I don't know if there's a din of kezias by the fish. I'm not sure.
I mean for the bread.
Oh, the bread. So let's say one slice is a kezias. Let's say one slice is a kezias. It's obviously a situation where you're going to have to make a choice over here. Okay? No, but you're right. If she can handle two slices.
Would you say rather have a kezias once or have less?
No, so that's different. That's different. Because there's a chiyav suda. Excellent question. Shuki's asking, maybe I should split the bread. So there's a chiyav to eat at night and a chiyav to eat during the day. Bread, part of my suda, I have to wash. But fish, okay, I got to make a choice. Deli roll, I love deli rolls. My favorite. So should I push it off till tomorrow or should I have it now? I hear the shiloh. I hear you saying, why can't I just have half the fish today, half the fish tomorrow? Yeah, what do you say, friend? Okay. What about the fish? How many other gefilte fish? That's what I'm saying. I'm using gefilte fish as my meat example.
Right, but I'm saying...
So what's halacha? What's halacha?
You would do it by a day.
Right, you say the gefilte fish
is
a day.
Clearly bread is different, and the Gemara deals with it as something different.
But this is different because she can only handle one piece of bread.
Okay.
So she has to make that choice. You're right. If I don't have to make the choice...
I know, but I'm saying maybe I'm wrong, I thought the Gemara there is specifically talking about things that you're not 100% required to do for the Suda. But bread is something that she would be required to do for Suda.
Right, but the woman is obviously potter from one of the meals. Right? Because since she, as a chola, she can't handle more than one slice of bread. So she, that Gemara is talking about a situation where I could eat at night, I can eat during the day, I'll have the bread both times.
But your meal at, during the
you're
day,
saying,
can't be the second meal.
Okay, very good, very good. So Yehuda wants to say that maybe that's only for additional things. But, okay, so maybe along those lines. So we discussed this, Shaila, in the context of the Ravaz. That he happened to meet up with Rav Delva Mandelbaum, we quoted last week, the author of the Paris Yosef HaChadosh, and he quoted from him from the Blazer Moshe Horowitz, a letter that he wrote, similar question, I believe. I didn't see it inside. But he paskin that you should, in this case, not take into account the advaz. Why? Because the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos is one big mitzvah that spans 25 hours. The Gemara gives us a guideline that tells you precedence should be given to the way you fulfill it the next day. But sof kol sof, it's one big mitzvah, just a question of where you put the weight. Unlike the Ravaz should not be relevant. The Ravaz would tell you have it at nighttime and not during daytime, but he says no. That's only true when I have to eat, I have to make I can perform one mitzvah tonight, one mitzvah tomorrow. So which one do I choose? I choose the mitzvah of the nighttime before the daytime. But when it's one big mitzvah and just a question of when you have that fulfillment, weighted, when you put more weight in that fulfillment, daytime or nighttime, so it's really not a choice of in my al mitzvah b'chlal. In my al mitzvah is mitzvah A versus mitzvah B. But when it's one big mitzvah and just a question of where you put the emphasis, so then that's not a shayla in the Ravaz. Even the Ravaz would say, when it comes to kavod yom, you give more emphasis to the daytime because I'm not even making a choice altogether. So that is it's an interesting like other side of the coin of the Yad Aron. Yad Aron is saying that the Ravaz holds you only apply in mavir al mitzvos when it's this mitzvah and it's the same category of that very same mitzvah, also tefillah b'tzibur, just at a different time. So you apply in mavir al mitzvos when it's the same mitzvah, just at two junctures. But you don't apply in mavir al mitzvos when if I do one, I'm not going to be able to do the other. So here, it's a similar type of logic where I'm not choosing between the nighttime kavod Shabbos and the daytime kavod Shabbos. It's all one big mitzvah. I'm getting both of them because it's really one unit. Okay. Now, I would add parenthetically that you could at least suggest the following ha'ara as to why kavod yom, kavod laila, it's not one big mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. When I was in Rabbi Twersky's shir, Shlita, learning Ksubos, so we learned the halacha there that you need parim chadashos. We're in Dav Zayin in Ksubos. You need parim chadashos at the Shevet Brachas. You have to have someone new who wasn't present at the wedding or an early parim, Shevet Brachas to be present in order to warrant saying all the Shevet Brachas. The halacha is that Shabbos counts as parim chadashos. So when you get to Shabbos, Shevet Brachas, even if everyone at your party was there for the wedding, you can still say the Shevet Brachas because Shabbos adds some new simcha or some new presence that allows you to recite all the Shevet Brachas. The halacha is that that's true for the nighttime and for the daytime, but not for Shal Shuras. Shal Shuras, we don't always have Panam Chadashos. Some say that if the Chazan makes a drasha, the Torah also counts as Panam Chadashos. But strictly speaking, you need to have for Shal Shuras, but nighttime and daytime, no. So the question is, if Shabbos is Panam Chadashos, why do you get a new Panam Chadashos for the day meal? You should only get Panam Chadashos at the nighttime meal. In other words, to clarify, Panam Chadashos, you have to have new presence at the meal in order to say all of the Shevet Brachos. So I understand when Shabbos comes in, Friday night, we have our automatic Panam Chadashos from Shabbos. Why do you get to double dip and have Panam Chadashos daytime also? Shabbos already arrived. So he quoted from the Rav, this may be the Pshat, that Shabbos actually has two distinct Kedushas Hayom. There's a Kedushas Hayom of nighttime and Kedushas Hayom of daytime. The fact that the Gemara gives weight to covered Shabbos during the daytime, giving your better foods for the daytime meal, saving them for the daytime meal, is one indication of that. And you also see other references in halacha. The Ramban quotes this in his Pirush Al Torah on the Aseres HaDibros, but it finds its way in halacha. You know, there's a different order of the chalas that you break bread on, a motzi, nighttime versus the daytime, you have two challahs. So when it comes to the nighttime, you're supposed to break from the bottom challah. When it comes to daytime, you're supposed to break from the top challah. In the Zohar, that has significance in terms of rachamim and din, which one is more powerful, the nighttime, the daytime. Whatever that means, there's clearly a different identity of Shabbos, nighttime versus daytime. If that's the case, could be there is a Panim Chadashos that reflects itself even during the daytime. That was the Chiddush that Ritzvorsky mentioned. And I just wonder if that plays into what we suggested a moment ago, that when it comes to Shabbos, the suggestion that it's all one long mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos with different times of emphasis, that should be considered. Yeah.
Where does it say Kavod Yom, Kavod Laila?
Pesachim Daf Kuvav tells you that Kavod Yom, Kavod Laila, Kavod Yom Adif. The Kavod Yom takes precedence. Another personal Shaila, in Nisan Tafshin Samchai, okay, I have a letter dated, one of the first letters I sent to Chaim Kanievsky, and he responded, Baruch Hashem. A lot of stories I can tell you about my letters to Chaim Kanievsky. Such a guddle, such a very special... Legend has it, when the Rebbetzin was alive, over breakfast, he was eating, and she would fire away with questions, and as he would respond, she would write the answers. I'm not sure that's true. That's the way legend has it. I'm not sure that's true. People did say that after the Rebbetzin passed away, the response time slowed down. But I'm not sure if that means because she was writing the answers before. I can't tell you. I'll tell you one story about a letter I sent to Chaim Kanievsky. I think it was the first one that I sent him. Story within a story within a story. I asked him a shaila, and you know, when I was a kid, when I was 10, 11 years old, my brother got me into a hobby. I collected baseball cards, but in addition to collecting baseball cards, I also collected autographs. And I was like that kid who would like send a baseball card to a ball player with a self-addressed stamped envelope, a little letter, I'm your biggest fan, it'd mean a lot to me if you sign my card and send it back to me. So, you know, you have to have a basic code for the baseball player. You got to send him an envelope with your address and the stamp already. He's not going to send it back to you. You're going to chuck it in the garbage if you, you know, expect him to take out a stamp and use his own envelope. And I collected a nice amount of autographs. Anyone wants to come to my house and my stamps, I'm happy to share them with you. So Chaim Kanievsky, you send the Golub Yisrael, if you expect an answer, you got to send the self-addressed stamped envelope, right? So I sent him a nice piece of 8.5 by 11 computer paper, okay, and with an Israeli stamp. I used to have friends buy Israeli stamps for me, so if I sent it from America, he could easily send it back to America from Israel. And he answered my question, but he totally ignored my paper and my envelope, sent those back blank, and a little torn off strip of blue, like a notepad, he wrote me the answer in like a few words. I didn't know what the pshat was. Like, I thought like I was doing a nice thing, you know, like, and he sent it back to me. I knew there had to be some pshat. So for a while...
Did he pay for his own stamp?
No, he used... Oh, I'm sorry. He put it in the envelope, but he sent me back the paper unused. And he put in his own little scrap, mamish, like a torn off from a piece of paper. So I was telling the story to people, you know, wherever I went, you know, trying to figure out what the pshat was. And I was at a Sheva Brachos, and I met a friend of mine, Rabbi Dov Stark. He's now Rosh Yeshiva. He's now a Mashgiach in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He was learning the Kollel in my Yeshiva at the time. He went to YU about 20 years ago. So he told me the following story. He said, this story is the pshat in your story. He said he knew someone else who wrote a letter to Chaim Kanievsky. And the shaila was like how to spell a name in a ksuba. And let's say the guy's name, the chassan name was Dov. He wanted to know, in the ksuba, do I write Dalet Vav Beis, or do I just write Dalet Beis? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky sent him back an envelope with no response. Totally blank. Nothing. This guy didn't know what to do. So he went to Bnei Brak, and he said, Rebbe, thank you so much for responding to my question, but he didn't answer my question. Like, what's the answer to my shaila? I need to write the ksuba. He said, what do you mean? I answered the question. Look at the envelope. I wrote your name and the address. I wrote Dalet Vav Beis. Why do I need to write your answer again on another piece of paper and waste more trees when, like, your address already has the answer? So, this, by the way, another story. Chaim Kanievsky reportedly, the people who live in Beit El sent the shaila to Chaim Kanievsky about how to spell, like, do you write Beit Kuf Lamed, right? Like, how do you spell, like, Hashem's name, right? So he never answered that because he couldn't spell the answer. So that's a different child. But But so obviously the chassam learned an important lesson. I learned a lesson. That was it. He said, why should I waste an entire piece of paper to write a little answer I can solve, you know, in six words? That's a gadol. That's a gadol. Okay. That's a gadol. Gadol has to be sensitive even to little things like that. So, what's that?
Now he uses iPad.
So here's one child I sent him. Nisan Tavshin Tamche. So I was bothered by, number one, the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah quotes this Radbaz, that you should, if you're in jail, you should go and daven right away in Mavir al Mitzvot. The Mishnah Berurah elsewhere has the following child. Let's say a person davens at a minyan every single day. Same thing happens. He's too slow. They get up to Kedusha and Chazar Sashatz. He's never able to finish in time for Chazar Sashatz. Okay, to answer Kedusha. Now, parenthetically, Rav Shechter, a number of occasions, he said this in public, he davens on Friday, he doesn't daven in Yeshiva because he goes to the OU on Friday, so he has to daven an earlier minyan that goes a little bit faster. So, and they're always too fast for him, so he starts davening 10 minutes earlier. So whenever they're up to Pesuk Zimmer, he's already in Kriyat Shema, etc. And with that method, he ends up reaching Kedusha about when they're going to reach Kedusha, and he doesn't miss Kedusha when he davens there. So that's an important eitzah if you know you're going to be at a minyan that's too fast for you. Right, he starts the Shemoneh Esrei a little bit earlier, so he can finish in time to answer Kedusha with the Tzibur.
He does this specifically for Kedusha, not to start
out. Right, so he's still going to be overlapping with their Shemoneh Esrei,
right.
So that still counts for two of the Tzibur, even if he didn't start at the exact same moment. But someone who's going to always miss Kedusha, he says the halacha is you should get a head start. Agav, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you show up to a minyan that's already started Shemoneh Esrei, and you're not going to be able to finish in time for their Kedusha, it may actually be better to wait till they're up to Kedusha, answer Kedusha, instead of diving from Manasseh and missing it. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah says, if you know that you are going to start at the same time as them, but not finish in time to answer Kedusha, so maybe you shouldn't diving from Manasseh altogether until they're all done. Answer Kedusha and then start Manasseh. And he says, Tzarechin, I'm not sure. And he says that we have to look more into the rules of Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvos. Because what's the Shaila? If I daven right now with the Tzibur, I get a mitzvah to Tzibur. Tzibur. But maybe I should forego Tzibur Tzibur because answer Kedusha is more important and wait to answer Kedusha with them and not daven Shemoneh Esrei at this moment. Or do you say, no, right now I have an opportunity to daven with Tzibur. That takes precedence because that's a mitzvah on the table. And if I miss Kedusha, I miss Kedusha. What am I going to do? So I asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what about the Radbaz? Why does the Mishnah Berurah quote the same Radbaz he paskens elsewhere that would tell you, right now they're up to Tzil B'Tzibur, say Tzil B'Tzibur and don't worry about the Kedusha later. You hear the Shaila? What's that? It's still not optimal. Still not optimal. It'd be better if you would answer to Kedusha.
Why didn't you do like the Radbaz?
To daven together with the... Yeah, so could be the Mechaber says don't do that because... maybe you hold it, you don't get Tzvila B'Tzibur like that. Could be that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept that. That's a good question. That's a bigger shaila of what you do when you get there and the Tzibur's already davening. Shulchan Aruch seems to be taking one approach. Could be different than that type of situation. That.
Suspense is killing me. What did he say?
Okay, so he wrote back to me an answer simply that the Chazon Ish also thought, this is what he said. He said the Chazon Ish also thought that the Mishnah Berurah did not make sense l'halacha. And Paskin, that if you're up to Shemoneh Esrei, you daven to B'Tzibur, you daven as long as you need to daven, and you don't worry about what happens later. I think I saw subsequently Rabbi Yashiv also Paskin like that, not concerned with the Chavetz Chaim Shiloh. So then, Rabbi Yashiv, last year it hit me that maybe the Yad Aaron's answer is also the answer to the Mishnah Berurah and our question. What did the Yad Aaron answer? The Yad Aaron answered that the Radbaz only said you should choose to daven right away and don't wait for Yom Kippur, when sof kol sof, what's the halacha? Tefillah now, tefillah later, it's still tefillah. But when I have tadir versus mekudesh, I have korban A and korban B, and one may be more important, so to speak, than the other one, so then you take a follow the hierarchy. And you don't say whatever is at hand you do right away. Because if I do one, I'm not going to be able to do the other, like Yehuda said. So maybe when it comes to this situation also, if I daven into an esri with the tzibor right away, I'm not going to be able to answer Kedusha later. It's one or the other. Tefillah and Kedusha are not the same mitzvah. Those are two distinct mitzvahs, right? So if I had to make a choice, even the Radbaz would agree, according to this line of thinking, that you look at the one which is more important, and it could be Kedusha is more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur. Okay? So maybe the Aharon's approach to that Ravaz also is what's behind the Mishnah Berurah Pasuk like the Ravaz. Okay? That's my suggestion. Let's bring it home, Rabosai. Turn to page 4, last page.
So according to the Aharon, the Ravaz did only answer a question between davening today and davening on a different day.
It wouldn't help you with the Gemara Menachos, and it wouldn't help you even in the Tefillah versus Kedusha. Tefillah versus Kedusha that I asked, I'm going to ask you about. Okay? Last page, number 10 and 11. We'll speak this outside because we're running out of time. But let's try to get to a Pesach L'maisa. So I saw in one discussion of this Shaila, Yushalmi quoted that asks the following question. Why is it that we have a number of fast days, of course, of the year, Shabbos HaBetamas, Sarbet Teves, Tisha B'Av, etc. But they're very different. Tisha B'Av is obviously more machmir. For example, the fact that the other fast days don't start at night. They only start during the daytime. And Tisha B'Av, Laila V'Yomo. It's the night and the day. Likewise, there's a whole list of the Inuyim that one is obligated to observe on Tisha B'Av that you don't have on the other fast days. So why don't we say Shabbos HaBetamas, for example, should have been a fast day that starts at nighttime as well? So one answer to the Gemara is Amr Rabbi Shuben Levi, Komasha Nasa Bezeh Chaz Bezeh, Komasha Nasa Bezeh Lo Chazer, Amr Rabbi Levi, Ksiva Shayasa, Osama Adam Chai Behem, Vein Mo'or Einav Shal Adam Chozer El Achar Abom Yom. Rabbi Levi answers that it's a Shail B'Koch Nefesh. If Shabbos HaBetamas would have been a full 25-hour fast, followed just 3 weeks later by Tisha B'Av, would be Shail B'Koch Nefesh. Too much fasting in the hot summer months close to each other. So people get sick.
Is that like an actual thing?
It means a person is not fully back to health until a certain amount of time has passed. And at least the people who already have compromised health, right? For sure, if a person is already weak and they just fasted.
And this is really...
What's the shot? You want to know medically this is correct?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, after 3 weeks, you have it. I mean, for me, once I have that meal later that day, I can fast again.
So I agree with you. For a strong, healthy 20-year-old...
I understand for someone older. Sick, but this is talking about... It says, like, in general, like this.
If you have a person... Right, okay, so I think when Chazal were instituting something that would apply for all Klal Yisrael, they did not feel it was safe to make an imposition that has to encompass everybody, and a person who would be able to fast ordinarily could have handled it as not necessarily going to be able to, but is already in a compromised state of health, and even though they can fast one fast, but they may want to push themselves to the second fast, and it would not be healthy for them. Okay, so you're right, it's not something which is, this is what we'd call categorical. It's not, you know, every man take into account their own personal health record. So that's what he said. The reason why Shabbos HaBetamas, Tisha B'Av, are not the same is because they're in proximity. So someone wants to suggest, hey, this should be a ride to our Shaila, right? Maybe if I know, not for everybody, but if I know that my health for Yom Kippur is going to be compromised if I fast on Tzom Gedalia, that should exempt me from Tzom Gedalia. Because Gemara's already taken into account, no in my viral mitzvos, right? You don't say, fast the full 25 hours on Shabbos HaBetamas, and then when you get to Tisha B'Av, nunu, you're an honest, it's B'Koch Nefesh. You don't say that. You say, lighten up on Shabbos HaBetamas in the underlying takana that Chazal made in order that you should be able to do the second mitzvah in full force, Tisha B'Av. So, in my humble opinion, this raya is not a raya b'chol. That Yushalmi is not accepted la'alacha because we don't passim that that's the real reason why Shabbos HaBetamas is not a 25-hour fast. That's not true at all. The Bavli says the following, and this is very important. In short, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that Yudchesem and Beis that there is a fundamental difference between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. What's the fundamental difference? That even though there are many tragedies that took place on Asar B'Teves, Shavuot B'Tamuz, etc., Tisha B'Av is different because Yom Shehuchbulu Bo'atzaros. Tisha B'Av is the day where whatever happened the first Tisha B'Av happened all over again. Tisha B'Av wasn't just at one point in history Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos on Shavuot B'Tamuz. Whatever happened on Tisha B'Av repeated itself. Again and again. So therefore, it had more severity, and from its very takana, Chazal, as a complete ironclad Din D'Rabbanan institute of the day, with all the trappings, with the Inuyim, night and day as well. What about the other fasts? So the other fasts, the Gemara says explicitly, that at a happy time, you didn't fast these fasts. At a Shas HaShmad, a time of persecution, you did fast these fasts. And at a time of Shalom, Ratzu Masanan and Ratzu Ein Masanan. People had the choice. Shavuot Sabbatamos is an optional fast. A time like this, where there's no persecution in America, the Jews are free to observe religion. Technically speaking, it's an optional fast. However, just like at one point in history, all of Klal Yisrael accepted to say Maariv, even though it may have started with more of an optional nature, so too, that option was taken as a more binding obligation, in the same way that we can all observe a minhag. Klal Yisrael can take upon a minhag that's binding on Klal Yisrael, but it doesn't take on the status of a full din d'rabbanan. Nafka mina, when Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves to fast the other fast, they accepted it with certain limitations. That's why we're much more makel on a chola on Shavuos Habetamos than we are on Tisha B'Av. A woman who is pregnant or fasting, is pregnant or nursing, and Tisha B'Av comes, much higher standard before she can break a fast. Whereas there are many instances, many communities where she doesn't have to fast at all on Shavuos Habetamos, or again the standard is much lighter. Just as an example. Likewise, Rabbi Osai, when they accepted the fast upon themselves, they only accepted it to a certain extent. They didn't accept it to apply to the nighttime. They didn't accept it to apply for all five of the Inuyim. That's why those days are not as machmir, because we never accepted them with all of the same chumras. Unbelievable nafkamina, historical. Rav Salavechik and many other rabbanim at the time, during World War II, when they knew what was going on in Nazi Germany, paskind that all of the fast days, even Tzom Gedalia, had to be observed nighttime and daytime. Shavuos Habetamos, nighttime and daytime, with Chamisha Inuyim. Because the Gemara, after all, says it's only on a Shas Shalom that you have this prerogative of accepting it on a limited basis. But when it's a Shas Hashmad, when we're being persecuted, they're killing 6 million Jews, Medina de Gemara, real din Rabbanan, you need to observe Shavuos Habetamos, nighttime and daytime. Unbelievable. What's that? In World War II. World War II. Even the Jews in America. Because they're a Shas Hashmad. We're being persecuted. Unbelievable. But bottom line, according to that, what's the reason why Shavuos Habetamos is not a full-fledged fast day? Not because health concerns, but because we never accepted it as a full fast day. So therefore, it doesn't have the same status. And therefore, when I spoke to Rashad about this, Shiloh, he paskin, getting back to Shuki's point, that what is Tzom Gedalia Bismanazim? Tzom Gedalia is, it's a Torah's minhag. It's a very strong minhag that was universally accepted, but it still has that designation of an optional fast that was taken upon that the Jewish people took upon themselves. So that a minhag should interfere with my observance of Yom Kippur, obviously when they accepted the fast, just like they accepted the fast, not including the nighttime and not including the Chamisha Inuyim, it's pretty obvious that they accepted it not with the knowledge that it would come and override Yom Kippur if you couldn't fast for both fast days. Correct. So when they accepted Tzom Gedalia, we can assume that it was accepted on a limited basis, not such that it would interfere with Tisha B'Av. Nafka mina, Rav Osai, we should never have a Holocaust. But Chas v'Shalom, if there's ever once again a Shas Hashmad, where Tzom Gedalia then has an ironclad din d'rabbanan status, then the Shiloh would come up again. Because yeah, Taka, when it's an ironclad din d'rabbanan, there may not be any room to compromise. And if you fast Tzom Gedalia, because you have to fast din d'rabbanan, and even if Yom Kippur is on the horizon, you did what you're supposed to do on the first of the fast, and then whatever happens later, you will be categorized as an onus.